Anything else? I appreciate our children.
Amen.
I pray for the day that we'll hear each and every one of them say that the Lord saved my soul.
Amen.
And I believe we're going to. Got to have faith.
Amen.
Got to believe. The thought I have for today, I really enjoyed last week, the service we had. Boy, it was a blessing. We have a lot of good services, but sometimes, you know, I get filled up I didn't have to do a whole lot, just got to filled up and got to, you know, experience it. And sometimes we have to do more than we do others, but I enjoyed last week. And Sister Leanne really got tore up last week, and I think she about lost her voice for about a week, the way I understand it, maybe still be. But that just lingered in me all week. And my thought is shout for the Lord. Any of y'all that's my age or older grew up in a time when, in our churches, people used to shout and tear the house down. And that's got to be a rarity. The places I go, I found just about here is about the only place anymore that I go is to hear much shouting. I know you're here some other places from time to time, but I don't think we need to shout just to be shouting.
Amen.
I don't think we need to shout unless we get to the point we have to shout. But it ain't nothing like getting filled up to a point that you just can't hold it anymore. And then he empties you. And he empties you sometimes in preaching, in us preachers' case, sometimes in testifying, and sometimes in shouting. But we're to do what the Lord tells us to do. Brother Myron, he was all over my subject this morning and keeping his statutes and his commandments. There's a certain way we're to do things, and if we'll do those things a certain way, if we'll keep his statutes and his commandments, we'll keep his house the way he'd have it to be, there will be power there.
Yes.
And I believe in all my heart, if we'll do what he tells us to do, you'll hear some shouting for the Lord. So I'm going to read very familiar scripture. Everything I've got is probably going to be familiar scripture, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. We can learn from, there's scriptures in here that I could preach on the rest of my life, just a few verses, and you'd find something in it different, you wouldn't find it, the Lord would show you something different all the time. But in Joshua in the 6th chapter, is where we're going to, that's where our thought comes from. First, we're going to read the first 4 or 5 verses is showing what the Lord told Joshua. And then we're going to read where Joshua told the people. And then after that, we won't continue reading, but I'd encourage you to continue reading.
Amen.
You'll find after that, then the Lord blessed and done exactly what he said he'd do. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in, went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thee in thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around it about the city once. Thus shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of rams and horns, and 7 on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow of the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and all the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. Now we begin to find where Joshua tells the people. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the seven priests bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns and before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on the compass of the city, and let them armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the Lord of the covenant with the Lord followed them. And he armed men, went before the priests and blew with the trumpets, and rearward came after the ark of the priest going to blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then shall you shout. Now I want to stop there. And I want to pay attention to what it says there. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid shout. Then shall ye shout. And I want to stop there and just say this. I said a while ago, we don't need to shout. I want to tell you, we don't need to do nothing. Amen. Unless the Lord directs it. Now, when he directs it, it will work. But until we may be quick to hear and slow to speak, and unless God's involved in it. And when he says do it, then do it. And when he says do it, you will see profit from it. Because God's in it. But if we're doing it just to be making the noise, I'm going to tell you right now, that's all to be, is a noise. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of the ram horns and before the ark of the Lord went continually and blew it with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, and they did it 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early in the morning, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. That's the only time they done it 7 times. The other 6 days they just done it once. And it came to pass on the seventh day when the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, listen, this is where our thought come from. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And I want you to realize, honey, we can shout for the Lord because he has given unto us the city. But listen to me. There come a time when they was to shout. And when they shouted, the walls come tumbling down. And I look around us today, there's everything to keep us from serving the Lord. The devil puts up walls to be able to keep us from loving one another. He puts up walls to keep us from loving the Lord like we should. But when we get to the point, we'll do everything just as God said to do it.
Amen.
And I mean everything. He will bless you. And I want you to know you'll be able to shout then. You won't be able to hold it in no longer. Because then comes the time to shout. And when you shout, you'll see results. And I want you to know, people, I want us to see results. We're starting a year off here. Every year and every revival comes up, I think, oh, this is the most important one we've ever had. And I really believe every one of them is. I don't know how much time we've got left. I don't know how many Sundays we've got to come to be here. I don't know how many more revivals we have. But I know one thing. We've got lost people all around us that tell us they're lost and they're not moving towards God. And we need the power of the Lord. The psalmist said in the 5th chapter and the 11th verse, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou definest them. Let them also love thy name and be joyful in thee. Now, there's been a few times here that I've seen this place just be on fire for God. I've been a few times here, even my wife, and she'll be one to tell you, she's not a shouter, but even my wife has shouted. There's been a few times that I've lost my dignity. About this last revival, there come a time that I got to a point that I didn't know what to do but run and just rejoice in the Lord. I want you to know, when you get to a point where you can't help it, then do it. I got happy this morning. I told you a story last week, and I had to repent. I told you about I'd been meeting a fellow on the road for 3 or 4 years. I wave at him every morning, and every morning he just turned his head on me. This has happened Sunday after Sunday. 3 or 4 years at least. Last Sunday I met that man on the road, and I believe he's a preacher of another denomination. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I met him, and I thought, I'm not going to wave at you. And the Lord said, just as soon as I got past him, you've been the light of the world. And boy, I had to repent right there. And I had to come and apologize to the church. Well, this morning I seen him come, and Sheila said, oh, no. He got closer, and you know what I done? I raised my hand up like this here. And you know what that same man had done? That had turned his head on me for the last 4 years. You know what he done? He raised his head up, and he spoke to me. And I nearly tore the car apart. And I was high-fived. I said, look yonder what the Lord has done, went and done. I got myself to a point that I was so sorry that I turned away from God, gave up, and said, I ain't doing it no more. And then that same God took that same man and raised his hand up. I believe in all my heart, God had everything to do with that. And I wanted to shout so bad I couldn't stand it.
Amen.
And I did just a little bit. That's when you shout.
Amen.
It's when you can't take it no more. When you know God is the one delivering. When God is the one doing it.
Amen.
That little girl got saved here. When Garrett's girlfriend has placed like the fell apart. I want you to know it wasn't one that we'd raised here.
That's right.
It wasn't one of our kids.
Yep.
It wasn't one of our grandkids. It was a girl that started dating a young man that went here.
Yep.
And we barely knew her. But yet God come in and cleared that altar.
Yes.
And when he did, this place went crazy.
Amen.
Why did you do it? Because you thought it'd be a good idea. We could show out a little bit. No, sir, we did it because God let us know. I believe he let every one of us know when he started singing that song, he was going to save that child. And you know what he done? He did it.
Yep.
And when he did, he proved us. He tore down that wall. And people began to shout. I want you to realize God ain't changed.
Amen.
We have. People used to shout and get tore all to pieces in the Lord. Why ain't we doing it anymore? Is it something we decided we just quit doing because it was embarrassing or something being too vocal? No, sir. We don't have the power we once had. People don't get filled up like what they once did. And because of that, you hardly ever hear any shoutings in the household of God anymore.
Amen.
Y'all pray for us.
Amen.
Once again, God told a man what to tell the people. And the man told the people. God told the man. The man told the people. The people got done what God said to do. God told Joshua, he said, now you 6 days, you go one day, and there was an order, they'd do everything. They was to take the Ark of the Covenant, and it was to be with them. The priests had a certain job. The men of battle had a certain job. The people had a certain job. You do this a certain way. And they done that 6 days. And on the seventh day, they had to do it different. The seventh day, they had to do it 7 times. And then he said, when they blow the priest, blow the trumpet, he said, then you shout. I want you to realize there's a certain order we have to do things. Sometimes it's not a way that would be pleasing unto us. Sometimes it don't even make sense to us for it to be done this way, but we still have to do it. And when we'll get to a point we're willing to do the things that God said to do His way, then we'll have power and we'll be able to shout. And it came to pass in the 9th chapter of Leviticus on the 8th day that Moses called unto Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And God had done told Moses this before. And he's fixing to tell the people, and we're not going to go through all the sacrifices and how they was, but I want to talk about it a little bit. And he said unto Aaron, take thee the young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for the burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord and unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf of the lamb, both for the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering, and also a bullock of a ram for a peace offering, and sacrifice before the Lord and meat for a meat offering, and mingle with oil, for the day of the Lord will appear unto you. Today the Lord will appear unto you. Now, how many of y'all want the Lord to show up? How many of y'all would just love to do what He says to do, and today the Lord appear unto us and show up? If we'll do what He tells us to do, if we'll keep His statutes and commandments, and you say, Brother Jeff, we don't do sacrifices no more. No, we don't. I'm not going to read through all of the sacrifices they made. We don't do them with animals anymore. But we still do sacrifices every day. They were supposed to take a young goat or young lamb, the sacrifice, the Passover lamb. It was supposed to be spotless, without a blemish. Amen. I want you to realize it had to be something that meant something to them. Yep. They couldn't go out there and just take a crippled one or one that was sick and died and take that up there and sacrifice it unto the Lord. They had to take the very best that they had. I want you to realize today, you're still having to make sacrifices. If you truly want to serve the Lord, you're going to have to let some things go. I guarantee you there's some in this house today that shouted last night during the Titans game. I didn't watch it. I quit watching them when they started kneeling. They want to kneel to pray, I'll watch them. They kneel against my flag, I won't watch them. But listen to me. I guarantee you there's some in this house said, whoa, yeah, go, 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 go. When's the last time you shouted for the Lord? When's the last time you shouted for the Lord? We got to make some sacrifices. Amen. Sacrifice a little of your time.
Amen.
This is the time we sacrifice for the Lord, the most of us. We'll come here, some will come to Sunday school, not too many. Some will come to worship service, not all. A very few come Sunday night, and a very, very few on Wednesday night. But listen to me, that ain't the only time you got to sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm doing that. I'm going to Sunday school. I'm going to church. I'm going to Sunday night. I'm going to Bible study. I'm doing better than most. I'm sacrificing my time. Boy, ain't that a shame. He wants the best you have.
Amen.
We give more to a television than we do God. We give more to our radio than we do God. We give more to our jobs than we give God. And don't get me wrong, you got to work. I believe that. God gives you the job to be able to work, that you be able to provide for His house. But listen to me. It ain't for you to have a pile of money.
That's right.
Oh, if you've got things, God's give you things. He's given it to you because He knows you'll be a good steward with it. And apparently He knows I'm not one. But listen to me. You don't have to have a bunch to give a lot.
That's right.
There was one woman give a pence. She gave one little coin. She gave all she had. That's what He wants from us. He wants a service unto Him. And when we get to that point, we'll be able to shout.
Amen.
Before I come back and read this, I want to go over here to Samuel. First Samuel chapter 4. We're shouting for the Lord. You're not shouting for Brother Jeff. You're not shouting. I'm going to tell you, much as I love the old church, and I do, we don't shout for her, we shout for Him.
Amen.
All the church does is represent her. But the word of of Samuel came unto Israel. Now, this is 1 Samuel chapter 4, very familiar again. Now, Israel went out against the Philistines in battle and pitched a battle in Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves array against Israel, and when they joined the battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. They done got whooped. And they slew the army of the field, about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, I got to get this shirt unbuttoned where I can preach.
Amen.
Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Listen to what it says. Fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that it, listen, it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Listen to me. I want you to know the Ark of the Covenant had power. The old church today has power. But we've got to put our trust in the Lord. Not the Ark of the Covenant. Not the church. Only God can save our grandchildren. So the people sent to Shiloh, and that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and the host which that dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eliph and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so the earth rang again. If you'll go on and read, you'll find where the Philistines heard them shouting. They even got scared because they just knew that God was on their side and He was fixing to deliver them. But you'll go on and find they went into battle and they lost again. You know why they lost? They put their trust in the Ark of the Covenant instead of God. Only God was able to save them. I want you to realize people today think more of the church than do the Lord. We need to protect the church. We do. We need to admire. We do. But listen to me. Nothing takes the place of God.
Amen.
Nothing takes the place of God. Now listen. We read to you over in your hearing a while ago in Leviticus chapter 9. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron to take a young calf. He goes on and he tells them to make his sacrifice. And he tells them a certain way to do it. Now I'm going to go and read the last three verses of this same chapter. After they done exactly what God told them to do. And Aaron lifted up his hand towards the people and blessed them and came down from the offering of sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and then blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And they came afar. How many times have we talked about this far coming down? How many times have I talked about where Elijah prayed and he prayed and the fire came down? Honey, you're fixing to see it happen right here. And it said there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Listen to me. It said the people. It didn't say the one Leanne out of them or the Teresa or Samantha. It said the people shouted. Well, you can get to the point where the presence of God comes in among you in such a way that everybody is going to shout. And I do mean everybody.
Amen.
Because the presence is so real. And it consumed their altar.
Amen.
When we love the Lord more than we do our own lost loved ones, and we're willing to offer them up to Him. Say, Lord, here they are. Just like Hannah was able to do. Lord, here they are. We're giving them to You, Lord. You know what He'll do? He'll come in and He'll accept that sacrifice. And the fire of the Lord will come in and He'll consume our altars. You know what's on them altars? It's the ones that we're willing to give Him. The ones we're willing to let Him have. Listen to me, people. You want to have a teardown? Do what God says to do. Keep His commandments. Love Him.
Amen.
Make a few sacrifices along the way. Now, I'm not talking about killing a calf or goat or lamb. That the only little sacrifice that's ever mattered has done been given. And that was Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about sacrificing some of the things that we hold on to. More than the Lord. You want to talk about a shouting service. The fire comes down from heaven. We're going to see one. We're going to see such a shouting service. According to the scripture. The Lord Himself is going to be shouting. You know why He's going to be shouting? You know why? Wake up a minute.
Man.
You know why He's going to be shouting? Because He loves you.
Amen.
And He's coming to get you.
Amen.
Amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. You love ones when they die. Don't worry about it if they've been saved by God's grace. But we have hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the day of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen to what it says. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You hear what I'm saying? The people, the children of Israel, got excited when the Lord came and they shouted. But He's coming and He's going to shout.
Amen.
For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
You're talking about a shouting service. The fire is going to come down from heaven, and that's the Lord. He's going to come with a shout because he's coming to get you. He's waited just like the children of Israel did. 6 days they went one day, and they weren't able to make a noise. They had to be quiet. They had to be shut up. Baptists would have a hard time with that. We look hard back on Israel. We look hard. Brother Laren asked us if we got anything to say to anything in Sunday school. Being buried, we'll talk on for 15 minutes. We're Baptist preachers. We just can't be quiet. I told him, I said, you'd be better off. Quit asking us if we got anything to add to it. He won't ever get done teaching this if he don't quit asking us. But listen, we have a hard time being quiet. We do. But for 6 days, they had to go, and they couldn't let nothing utter out of their mouth. And they marched. One time, they went back to camp. Go back home. That's us. Sometimes it goes that way, don't it? Seventh day finally rolls around. It's getting closer. The Lord said he's going to deliver, and I believe it. They go 7 times that day. And their anticipation, there's something building up in them. Their faith in God's getting stronger all the time. And it's getting so strong they can't hardly stand it now. And all of a sudden they hear that trumpet. And all the people go to shout. They shout for the Lord. And guess what happens? The walls just come tumbling down. Something they didn't have enough weapons in their arsenal to tear down. But God, just like that right there, raised a hand for me this morning. You don't know how much. Y'all think that's just stupid, don't you? That man wouldn't speak to me. Y'all think that's ignorant, don't you? It might be in me. But I want that man to speak to me. I don't know if that man's saved. He don't know if I'm saved, but I know I'm supposed to love him.
Amen.
And God tore that wall down this morning. I have no doubt about it. When I finally got willing to humble myself and realize that I was the one wrong, and I was wanting them to wave to me because I wanted them to. Not because it would be good for us to have fellowship with one another. This week I got where I work on old chainsaws. I'm fixing to shut up in a minute. I know I bored y'all to death. Can't help it. Maybe next Sunday you can get excited and shout again. But I'm still going to get done. This week I got where I work on old chainsaws. Brother John, give me some. Everybody's give me some. They give them to me, and they're old ones, and I love them. And I tell the kids, I'll get to the, they'll be sitting around the living room, and I'll go talking about a saw, and they're just like, nobody cares about a chainsaw but me. Poor old Brandon has to hear about it all the time. But I'd messed up before. If y'all ever got one of them springs out of the cranking mechanisms, y'all ever got one of them out? You men? I done that here a while back. I thought, I'll never let that happen again. Well, guess what happened this week? It took me and Brandon and Bobby to get that spring back in. Well, I got that one out the other day. There it was. Just flung out there. I wrapped it up in my hand. You had to wrap it, and get it tighter and tighter. You're trying to get this big round, around, around spring. You're trying to get it wound up. You're getting it. Your hands just so tired. You're gripping, you're winding. You get just about there, and all of a sudden you run out of strength. And I'd food. It went on 30, 40 minutes. My hands had done got to cramping and weak. And I finally shook what I should have done to start with. I said, Lord,
amen,
if you'll show me a way how to do this, because I can't do it by myself. Well, I went to rapping and rapping again. Wasn't long, my hand got cramped and flew everywhere. I don't know what else to do now. And just like that, it come to me and said, you take some needle nose pliers, and you grab that right there at the center, that little hook there in the center. You take that back there and you put that in your vise. You hold that real tight and you tighten that vise on them handles. And I done that. Then I picked up another needle and old spire. And they said, you grab that on the outside there and you start wrapping it around there and let that hold it. You just guide it and I'm going around through yonder. And I get this all wound and it's wound up and I'm just like, if I had some vice grips, I could clamp that right there and it couldn't go nowhere. I looked right there like my vice grip. And I picked them up and I adjust them a little bit and I clamp it on there and there it is. I pick it up and I've got it right there. I'm holding it. Wound up in my hand. I go over and I stick it down in there and there it is. I let go of the vice grip and pop it. It's in place. And I said, I done it. And boy, right on my knees. Who told you how to do that?
That's right.
I done what he said to do. And it worked. You want your sprain done what? In the right place at the right time. Do what he says to do. Give him honor and glory. Shout for the Lord. He raises the hands. He unwinds the springs. He saves your children. Shout for the Lord. Get up off your seats. Give him honor and glory. And watch and see what happens. You can keep your mouth shut until he says do it. That's my message. Bad day for me, pastor election, me telling you keep your mouth shut. But I can't help it. I'm going, as long as you let me be here and God lets me be here, I'm going to preach you the truth. Amen. If it skins every cow in Texas.
Amen.
Go ahead and get you some. I'm done.